Welcome to Burning River Radio. I'm your host, Joe Koblitz. I'm here, as always, with Justin Holadalada. Welcome. We're here on an odd day. We usually record on a Sunday, but it's actually a Tuesday because, you know, fun things happen. You got some Monday Night Football going on.
We have lives occasionally.
No. That's not it.
Never.
But, so this is a weird part of the season for the Indians. I know I've mentioned before, starting in like 2000, well, we started the site in 2011, starting like maybe 2012, 2013, towards the end of the season, you're looking at like, what do the Indians need to do to get into the postseason? Obviously in 2013, they needed to win 10 games in a row. They did it. Then the next couple of years, every year, like in August, you start looking like, okay, we're back a bit. What are they going to do? What do they need to do in September to get into the postseason? And you follow it as it goes along, and either it gets better, like, you know, in 2016, they run away with it, or in the years before that, they don't, and they fall back further. This year has been so different than all of those years, and it is kind of reminiscent of the 1990s, where they really just blew it out because of lack of competition. And they, you know, they wrapped this thing up really before September started. I know it wasn't official, but really they wrapped up a playoff spot at least before September started. And so now, you know, you had something to get excited about for a minute with the 22 game winning streak. And even more than that, I mean, they just kept winning every game. It seemed like, you know, lose a game, win five. Even before that 22-game winning streak, they had two extended winning streaks. But now it's kind of just like a little bit of dull time. There's not a whole lot. As a fan, I mean, you could go to the games and cheer for them, but you know that these don't mean anything compared to the ones that are coming next week. And as a player, I think it's the same way. Who really cares if they win today against the Twins or tomorrow against the Twins? I care if they win next week against the Twins. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, do you have tickets to the last series?
I'm going tomorrow. I'm going Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday are my last two. Season ticket packages.
Okay, so maybe you care.
I mean, results-wise, I think you care because of getting the top seed in the AL and getting home field advantage in both rounds. I mean, obviously, they've already clinched home field in the first round. You know, it was the same case last year, and Toronto knocked out Texas last year. So who's to say Houston if the Indians don't hold on to the top spot? But like you said, there's five games left. I mean, do you think they're going to go 2-3? Probably not. They probably go 3-2 at the worst, I would guess.
Well, and, I guess my point is I don't care.
Because what?
My point is I don't care. I'd like him to win two more games to get to 100. Beyond that, whatever.
I guess. I mean, it's a nice round number, but I mean, if 99 were to win a home field, that's fine too.
Yeah, but baseball's all about numbers.
I guess, as much as we hate it, yeah.
100 runs, 100 RBI, 300 wins, 300 strikeouts is such a big deal. Like, they love those round numbers because we have 10 fingers. You got to have those.
No, it's because we're all humans and.
Yeah, humans have 10 fingers.
Most of us do.
Well, that's why we use base 10 instead of, like, base 8.
Yes. I think people just, like you said, like round numbers because we're mostly obsessive compulsive and have the need to rationalize things.
Yeah. No.
You broke up. I didn't hear what you said.
Have you ever listened to Tom Lear?
I have not.
Okay, he's kind of like a comedian, parody song, hippie guy from way back when. He was a math professor, and he did a song called New Math. I'm sure you heard the one song he did. He wrote the Element song, where all the elements on the table of elements are sung.
No.
No? You don't know that one?
No.
I thought everyone sung that song as a child.
Nope. Way over the head, as usual, for your musical references.
Bugs me on this one, because I love them. I've probably got 20 or 30 of his songs. And I love them all.
They just aren't normal. That's why I don't get them.
No, they're extremely well-rounded. I mean, I love all sorts of different things.
Do you like Zach McAllister pitching in high leverage situations over Brian Shaw?
Well, let's see. You're changing the subject. I have a CD that has Sean Casey and Ben Broussard singing on it.
That's definitely weird.
Yeah. Would that interest you?
I mean, I've heard Ben Broussard sing before. He's not bad.
I bought it because Omar Vizquel produced it, so I felt like I had to.
I've definitely heard Omar. I've definitely heard Ben Broussard's music before. He's not bad.
Okay, I'm not going to jump at the bait you did, but I will change the subject. Going into the regular season, the subject of the 25-man roster is always a huge debate because there's so much stuff on the line with certain players not having options, and it's not necessarily about putting the best team on the field. It's about getting all the circumstances correct. You know, like they're mostly the option situation and your minor league free agents or major league free agents who could leave if they don't make the team by a certain date, they have opt-out dates. Like, there's a lot of things that go into that opening day roster, and it's still such a big deal. The postseason roster, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You just put the best. You put the best guys out there, and you only carry four starters, so it's not even like your best 25. It's better than your best 25, because your best 25 would be five.
You also have to maximize for matchups too. You make the roster for. Is it going to match up well with the team you're facing?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You get the best of the best of the best out there. So we know a large percentage of the Indians roster. We know that their rotation, and part of that, we're talking about complacency a little bit, like not caring about who wins last week. It was nice for the Indians to not care because they bumped back Corey Kluber a day, which lined him up perfectly. So he's going to start with 4 days rest for the first game of the ALDS. It doesn't matter who they play. He's going to have 4 days rest going into, which is exactly what he wants. And that way, because of that, he can either start game four on 3 days rest or start game five on his normal 4 day rest. If they don't sweep. So it's set up perfectly. So they were able to do that because they didn't have to worry about winning every single game. If they had to win every single game, maybe they wouldn't have done that. So we know it's going to be Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, and then Josh Tomlin.
Well, they haven't said that officially yet, but everyone just assumes that's.
Well, they've said it enough. They put Mike Clevenger in the bullpen. I guess.
Well, they haven't said they're not ruling Salazar out yet.
I'm ruling Salazar out. I don't know how they're going to. He didn't pitch that poorly last game, and they pulled him after 50 pitches.
Because he hadn't been stretched out enough.
Okay, that's the point. If he can't go past 50 pitches last week, whatever. I mean, to me, he's not going to be pitching 100 pitches in a playoff game. So, honestly, the way I see it is game four, you're either up to 2-1 or down 2-1. So, well, either way.
No damn way. Josh Tomlin should be making that start. But if you're down 2-1 in the ALDS.
Even if you're up 2-1, there's no way Tomlin should pitch. Either way, you want to avoid you either want to avoid game five, or you have to win or you're done. In neither of those situations should Josh Tomlin be pitching. So I have a feeling in both of those situations they would be going to Corey Kluber.
So the only way he's pitching is if...
I can't... In the ALCS, maybe.
Yeah, so the only way he's actually pitching then is if they're up 2-0 in the ALDS.
But he wouldn't pitch game three anyway. Bauer would pitch game
three. Oh, yeah, you're right. It wouldn't matter.
So the only way he would pitch is in the ALCS because they don't want to do Kluber three times again, which I think. I'm guessing that they don't want to do
with that, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't want to see – I think the reason they lost the World Series was because Kluber had to pitch three times. I think
it's not that he had to pitch on 3 days rest. It's that he had to do it three times or two times in a row, plus he did in the Toronto series.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. If he would have been able to just go, okay, I'm full out, all out Corey Kluber. I know I'm only going to have to pitch twice in this series. I can go seven innings each start and just blow it out. I feel like he would have pitched better in all three appearances. But instead, they pulled him early in games when he really is the best pitcher on the – You can say what you want about Andrew Miller. Corey Kluber is the best pitcher on his staff by stuff, by everything. If he had the innings that Kluber had, he would not have the numbers that Kluber has. Because if he did, he would be a starter. If they've been through this, he used to be a starter. We saw it happen. So you want Kluber to go seven innings at least, maybe eight. In these games, and if you know he has to pitch three times, then that's not going to happen. So that's when you're going to use Tomlin. That's why I personally would have left him off the ALDS roster entirely, because you don't want him out of the bullpen and you don't want him to start. But they obviously owe him respect, and their respect is by putting him on the roster, even though I feel like that respect could be shown other ways.
Yeah.
In any event.
You can't use him in the bullpen. That's just not a great way to use him. It's not...
Yeah.
It's not effective for him. That's not effective for the team. But
well, it's kind of like what we talk about with the offense-defense platoons, where you want the defensive guy in as much as possible because you never know. You know, it's going to help you more over the long run if he has more innings, whereas the offensive guy could come in and just hit one out at any point in time. Well, in the bullpen, you want the guy who can strike out anybody. That's who you want, mm-hmm. is the guy who's going to come in and strike out somebody. Whereas if you have a guy like Tomlin, who has really good control but doesn't strike out very many people, but he doesn't walk many, and he doesn't give up a ton of hits, but when he does, they're big. That's perfect for a starter because you're playing the long game. You're saying, yes, he might pitch, give up a home run in the first inning, but probably he's going to be fine the rest of the game. That's fine in the regular season, but in the postseason, that's not going to be good enough. And in the bullpen, it's never going to be good enough.
Obviously, I think you saw their plan tonight was, like, if this was a playoff game, if you looked at it, the Tuesday night game where they lost 8-6, which was a frustrating game. I don't think – do you think Tomlin goes as deep as he does tonight in a postseason game? Do they let him pitch that long? Because I don't. I don't think they let him pitch that long.
Probably not, especially not with Clevinger in the bullpen. I can see that as an idea, and it's something we talked about last year at a point, too, potentially doing with having two pitchers, one going three innings, the next going three innings, like that, having that be the plan, because Tomlin always struggles second, third time through the order. Mm. He just doesn't have the stuff to fool guys, and when you're playing the Twins, who have seen him 8 million times, he's not even going to fool them the first time through the order, because they know him. So if he plays...
It's not a great matchup either. Like, I mean, if you just look at the style of hitters they have, they're not a heavy strikeout team. Mm-hmm. That's not a team you want to see against Tomlin. Like, last year when they had... I mean, they didn't have any choice last year, obviously. Tomlin had to pitch. Or it was going to be a bullpen day every three starts.
Yeah, and that's a great point, too. When somebody was talking about how... Every time someone brings up what Tomlin did last year, remember that if Carlos Carrasco was not hurt, Tomlin wouldn't even been on that team. Just one guy.
They might have used him as a fourth starter, but
They would have used him over Ryan Merritt. Ryan Merritt made one start. That start would have gone to Tomlin.
Right. That was it. So I mean, he was.
So that's it.
He had to be there. But my point was, it worked out in their favor. I mean, I don't know if Boston was necessarily a good matchup for him, but obviously Toronto was, because look at Merritt. That's the reason they use Merritt, because
Merritt was a good option
for Toronto, and that's because Merritt and Tomlin are mirror images of each other.
And we've talked about this before. The entire Indians staff is really good against high strikeout teams. They've already set the record for most strikeouts in a year ever by any major league team. They did it a week ago, and they keep adding to it. So they really fuel off of those high strikeout, high home run teams, which is why I think they will absolutely decimate Houston. I really think they beat them five times this year in a row. I really feel like Houston has no chance against the Indians. I think Boston does. Boston is not that one-dimensional. And Houston isn't as one-dimensional as they used to be, but they're still fairly on that level. I think they definitely have much more.
The Twins are the only team in the playoffs that – well, I guess they're not even technically in the playoffs yet. They should be sometime this week. They're the only team in the playoffs, if you look at it, that doesn't strike out a lot. I mean, Houston doesn't strike out a lot, but – They have kind of some all or nothing guys. Like, they're not a team that, I don't know, if you look at their strikeout numbers as a team, they're not really high.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it used to be. And I think some of that is Altuve, who is one of the best pure hitters.
He does keep numbers down in order. But if you look at, like, Brian McCann, Carlos Beltran, I think those guys strike out as much as the league average. That's why it looks better than it is. But I think – because this is such a high strikeout environment now, they just are one that strikes out the least in that high strikeout environment. I mean, obviously the Indians don't either, but the Twins are the only team that it feels like they aren't an all or nothing team as far as home runs. They don't have a lot of power hitters because Miguel Sano's out. Somehow Eddie Rosario has turned into a power hitter, but that's about it. Like, they don't have a ton of guys that
are looking to hit. And obviously, any team can win a wild card game. We've seen some really strange things happen in last year. We saw some strange things happen. But you have to favor, just because of any pitching matchup that could possibly come out of there, you've got to favor New York. They've got the home runs. They've got the better starting pitching. I would assume that they can line it up to have Severino or whoever they want to go.
Yeah, maybe they go with the bullpen day. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of people think they should just go with Chad Green for two innings and then go with
plan for an extra inning game based off what happened last year.
Yeah.
With Baltimore. You don't want to leave your best pitcher on the bench. But, yeah, I think they'll go – I think the Yankees will go with their best that they have, and the Twins don't really have a best pitching off option. They've got great defense, and they've got a great single-sitting club. Obviously, they
– I guess they're hoping Irvin Santana throws a complete game. I don't think they're bullpen
Like, yeah, Irvin Santana shouldn't scare anyone at this point.
I mean, he's good enough to win one game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, any team can win any game. It could be either of those teams. Yeah. Assuming the Indians stay ahead of the Houston, it will be one of those teams that they face. I'd love to beat the Yankees again. Always love beating the Yankees.
Yeah.
Happens so seldom, it seems. But if they beat them, it'll be three in a row. So that'll be pretty good.
I'm not really so worried about the ALDS, I guess. I mean, the Yankees are a tough matchup because they have a good bullpen, but Dylan Batanen has their warts. I mean, like you said, they strike out a ton. Behind Luis Severino, I don't think Sonny Gray really – so, I mean, because game one, essentially, let's say they win the wild card game, and you're basically starting Sonny Gray versus versus Corey Kluber game one. I think everyone's taking Corey Kluber, and game two is probably Tanaka versus Carlos Carrasco, and I think everyone would take Carrasco.
Well, and I do think they have a day off between there. I think The NL wild card is the second game.
They do. So they have a day off, but I mean,
so there's a day off, so they can kind of play around with things a little bit. I mean, that would suck if. I mean, that's kind of the tough part about being a wild card team is you could throw your ace in the wild card game. You might not bring your ace back until game three, and you could be down 0-2, and that's the first time your ace is pitched. And that's just, you know, that's kind of how it runs now. Maybe that's more fair. It puts more emphasis on winning the division for sure. We've always known that because it's a one-for-one toss-up, but then that's a second handicap you have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it puts you behind the eight ball for the ALDS, so that's why the Indians would want the first seed. It's just because then you already have a team that's already used essentially their best starter, even though we feel like starters are less important in the playoffs. But if you don't at least have, like I said, the Yankees have good ones. They're not great, but they're good behind Severino.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, I mean, you know,
it's all just so random because it's the playoffs, and you just hope that you don't get down late to any team. Like even tonight, you know, the Indians trailed late and they still had chances to win. I think everybody thought they could still beat Minnesota despite being down 8-6 in the ninth inning. Because, I mean, does Matt Belisle really make you feel like you can't come back?
Hey, well, despite winning 28 of 30 games, you don't win them all.
Right.
And I think we've discussed that before in the closer's role. You could put just about anyone who's good enough to be a major league pitcher out there to pitch one inning, and chances are they're going to pitch a scoreless inning because the majority of innings in baseball are scoreless. Mm-hmm. Even a guy who has a 9 ERA is going to pitch some scoreless innings. Like he's not going to give up exactly one run every inning. You know, so he's going to have some scoreless innings. So chances are if you have a pitcher with like a 3 ERA or lower, especially even a 4 ERA or lower, he's going to be able to pitch some scoreless innings and get you some saves. So
I was looking the other day.
I don't know. You always can come back, but you shouldn't expect it.
We're talking about, you know, playoff pitching. I was looking today because I was kind of wondering, you know, 1995, they made the World Series. They had a great year. First time in the playoffs in a long time. And then 96, you know, everyone just assumed they would get back and they were going to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I was an idiot back then.
Yeah, I mean, I was 6 and I still was pretty sure. Or I was 7. I was 7 in 1996. I thought they were going to get back then. I was under the impression
that that happened all the time. Like, that was just a given. You get the best team in baseball, you're going to go to the World Series every year.
Right, and then they didn't make it out of the first round the next year. And I was like, well, you know, is this a similar year? We're going to have the same expectations. It's 1996 was World Series or bust, and I think this year is fun as the regular season has been. It's still, you know, kind of World Series or bust.
I think that also kind of adds to this, me not caring at all about this last week of baseball.
That's very true.
I think it all kind of goes into there. Like, it. And that's why I don't put anything.
We're with the same letdown, and they're pitching. I look back, and the pitching wasn't even good in that first round. And I'm looking at, you know, guys like Roel Hershiser threw like 5 innings, gave up 6 runs, and that was their best. Their best pitcher in that series, as far as a starter is concerned.
Yeah, and he was also. I mean, if you wanted to go with postseason experience, he's one of the better postseason pitchers in baseball history. Not only for the Indians in his couple years, but with the Dodgers, he had literally the best postseason ever.
Yeah, not with the Indians. I mean, but
no, he was with the Indians in '95. He had some great series. I remember. I put the last year. I did the top ALDS and the top ALCS. Yeah, but Oral Hershiser was on both lists. I think it was all 3 lists for top ALCS, top ALDS, top World Series. He was all over that.
Yeah.
So he was very good.
I mean, he wasn't great in 96. That was my point. The whole 96 pitching staff was not great in the regular season, wasn't great in the postseason. So I'm not really worried about having a 96-type letdown, despite the fact that it's so random and you don't know. I don't feel like anybody is going to be any pitcher. I mean, maybe Josh Tomlin's the only one that's going to be as bad as that 96 ALDS pitching staff.
Yeah, no. Okay, so I do want to talk about the roster a little bit where we started in this. So if you have – we have four starters locked in, assuming. We're going to expect 14 hitters of some kind or other. And I don't really want to talk about the hitters because currently Brandon Guyer, Lonnie Chisenhall, Michael Brantley are all injured. You got three outfielders out. If they're all in, they're probably, you know, and healthy, they're probably all on the team. Even if Brantley can't start, they probably still carry him on the team, I would think.
That really complicates things a whole hell
of a lot. That many hitters. More than I thought. Yeah, so it's – and we've been talking on this show for like 3 or 4 weeks that we've just said Brantley's out and forget about him. So I'm still
– Maybe there's a chance he's not now.
I'm still personally planning on him at least being out for the ALDS, but we'll see. But that's the kind of – the point is I don't want to talk about that particularly because it's so murky. What I'm interested in is the bullpen because you've got 7 spots open for the bullpen. They've said Clevenger's going to be in the bullpen. He is now.
Sean Smith.
Yeah, Miller Allen, Sean Smith, and I think Tyler Olson as well.
Yeah, I think Tyler Olson.
Because they have to have 2 lefties, and he's been the Indians' best lefty this year outside of Miller. Yeah, that means there's literally 1 spot left in the bullpen between Zach McAllister, Nick Goody, Dan Otero, and I'll say Danny Salazar, and I'm not even going to say anyone else is even in the competition. And I don't think Dan Otero's in the competition. And I don't think...
Really? See, I think Dan Otero's definitely got a chance.
Well, I think that Joe Smith took...
A lot. I think...
I think Joe Smith took his job. He took a job.
Yes. I don't know. I think it comes down to Otero or Goody.
Well, Salazar is in it still, but I do think that Clevenger kind of takes anything that Salazar was going to get.
Yeah, I think Salazar at this point is probably going to either have to be the 4th starter or he's just not going to make it. I think that was the only role that you thought Salazar could make it, and if he's not a starter, and if doesn't seem to be room for Clevenger and Salazar in there, unless you're really only dedicated to giving Salazar just one inning.
Well, it's funny because you go all season, and there's been so many times, like last year we wanted them to – last year I remember early in the season they were playing in a couple international – or interleague games, and I was saying put – I think it was against Washington. And I said if you're going to put – because they had talked about Carlos Santana in right field. As if you're going to put him in right field ever, put him in right field in Washington, have him play out there a little bit. Let's see if we can do it. They didn't do it. They waited until the World Series to put him in right field. And I'm like, why would you possibly wait until the World Series to figure out if this guy can do it? And he wasn't bad, and he's played it a few – this year he actually has played it during interleague play, and he hasn't been too bad. He actually had one of the best plays of the season on a diving catch. Then he threw the ball to second for double play. Statcast rated at 5 stars. It's coming up in our top 10 playlist coming up in a week or so. So he's decent out there. But we didn't know that going into the World Series. So to just go, oh, he's out there in the World Series. And he's better now than he was then because he's had some practice at it. So to go, oh, Clevenger could be in the bullpen. But you never tried it. Why didn't you try it during the whole season when they had a 6-man rotation?
Well, they just did it tonight.
Well, yeah, but they waited until the last week of the season. Like, this is what I don't understand. Why don't you try this?
I think injuries also forced that, too.
There were, like, 3 weeks they ran through a 6-man rotation. Time he could have pitched out of the bullpen.
Yeah, because every time that happened, every time they thought they're going to go 6-man, someone got hurt. You lost Tomlin, and then Salazar went down.
Okay, Ryan Merritt's last start, I believe, was September 1st.
Yeah.
Or maybe he made two starts in September. He has not pitched. Okay, he made two starts in September. He has not pitched since then.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been in the rotation the whole time, and Clevinger could have been in the bullpen and actually been used. Like, so there's always been options.
You didn't know at the time that this was the way it was going to go. You didn't know that Salazar wasn't going to come back. You didn't know that.
Well, but if Salazar had came back, then you really don't need
Clevinger. You didn't know Miller was going to get hurt either.
Well, but Miller's back. No, no. The point is,
you didn't know what it was going to be like when he came back.
The point is that they should have known that they wouldn't need Clevinger in the rotation. Because if Salazar had come back and been in the rotation, then they wouldn't need Clevinger in the rotation. So they should have known if they were going to give Tomlin that kind of respect, and it's just be career. It has nothing to do with his work this year because he's been terrible almost the entire season. Good run recently. He's been really bad most of the season. Tonight, Pinkton. Then you knew Clevinger wasn't going to start in the postseason. Any sense at all that you don't move him to the bullpen? And Sean Morimondo, they sent him home. Did we talk about this?
Yeah, no, we didn't talk about it. But yeah, I mean, they sent him home because he wasn't pitching. He was never going to.
No, because they sent Plutko to Lynchburg. They called him up on September 1st. We're like, okay, Plutko, you're up in the majors. And then they sent him to Lynchburg because he wasn't pitching, and they wanted him to pitch there. I don't even know if he pitched there. It doesn't matter. He's still on the roster, and he's obviously not pitching now because their season ended 2 weeks ago. He's still on the Lynchburg roster, the major league roster, and the dugout. Morimondo never pitched in a game this year. They sent him home, or they allowed him to go home because they told him they were never going to use him.
They sent him home in major league pay.
That shows you really something about the respect. You know, they respect Tomlin, even though he's terrible, that they're going to put him on the postseason roster. And they respect their minor leaguers so little that they won't even give him one inning month. They have an entire month. They can throw him one inning. Brian Shaw pitched 3 days in a row now. These games don't matter. We discussed this. These games do not matter. He's pitched in 3 games in a row. It doesn't make any sense. You got 40 guys out there. You have literally maybe 39 people on this roster right now. And you got Brian Shaw pitching 3 days in a row, a week before the season ends, when you want him saved up and ready to go in the ALDS.
I think with the way the roster was set up and the injuries they went through, and they had to get some things down pat in the month of September, and there just weren't – it didn't make any sense to pitch Morimondo in some of those situations. I don't think you have to make
– I'm saying either don't call him up or get him one inning in the whole fucking month.
They said at the beginning – that they called those guys up because they had back-to-back doubleheaders and they wanted – some coverage in case things got out of hand in those doubleheaders. And they didn't. That's why they sent Morimondo home. That's why they never called Plutko back up. And they even admitted that. They said they just were there because they were looking to cover just in case things got out of hand.
Yeah, it's just, to me...
You don't have to have them there not to play them. I don't understand what's the harm of having them there not using them. Like, was there ever a great time to get him in? Like, I guess during the blowouts they could have got in, but...
Yeah, there were plenty of times that they could have pitched an inning or two. I mean, just like Sean Armstrong and Kyle Crockett, you know, they haven't pitched in 2 weeks or so now. They pitched a little bit this month.
They're not going to the postseason roster. Like, that's the point. They're not going to the postseason roster.
But I personally think that you should be resting these guys up as much as possible, except Miller. You got to... You know, you have to work him out. But the other guys...
I mean, outside of Brian Shaw, I mean, they just gave Cody Allen 2 days in a row.
Yeah, Joe Smith has been rested fine.
Yeah, I mean,
it's really mostly Shaw.
How much rest do you want them to have? Like, they have to...
Honestly, I think I said it last week. I think they should not pitch not more than once every 3 days until the, you know, pitch them the last game, prepare to pitch them the last game of the season, because you know they're going to have 4 days off after that. So you should have,
have to pitch at the end of the season because they have to be ready for.
Yeah, I think Tomlin is scheduled to pitch the last game of the season. So
which would set him up to be on, he'd still have extended rest just because of off days.
Yeah, everyone's going to be in extended rest except for Kluber.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you have him going the last game of the season. You should know right now, a week in advance, that the last three innings of that game are going to be pitched by Miller, Shaw, and Allen. You should just know that right now because they have such a break after that. And you should not pitch them like 2 days before that just to make sure that they.
Well, he's going to. I know they said Miller's going to pitch tomorrow no matter what.
He's going tomorrow or not going?
He is.
What?
He is. First back-to-back.
Well, yeah, and that's why you have to treat him differently. Obviously, it's on a player-by-player basis. You know, and he's coming back from injury, and they're trying to get him back to full strength.
We're talking about the roster here. My only real issue here is, are you outside?
Yeah, why?
I heard the crickets and I was like, is that coming from my basement or is that outside? Anyway.
No, actually, I have the window open, but the cricket is inside.
Okay. The only thing I question about the postseason roster, I think everything else will fall into place, is if you're going to start Tomlin in game four, like we just talked about tonight, you said that if this is a postseason start, Tomlin probably would have been done for two innings, no?
Uh-huh.
And your plan is to go to Clevinger after that. I don't understand why you just don't start Clevinger if you're going to have a quick hook with Tomlin. Are you hoping that he gets you through three innings and then you can go to Clevinger for two and then go to the rest of the bullpen? Like, I don't understand the point of that. They can afford to have short leashes, I guess, in general, and they didn't have a choice last year. But I mean, Kluber and Carrasco have proven they're good enough to go seven innings, maybe even eight. I mean, Kluber's pitched how many complete games this year? He's fine when he gets through the order. You don't have to do all that. So that's like the only reason I think Clevinger is on the roster is to protect against Tomlin, who might have a bad start.
The only reason Tomlin is on the roster.
Any of them can have a bad start, but I mean.
Well, no, but I'm saying the only reason Tomlin is on the roster is because they think they owe it to him. I'm telling you, that's how it is, because that's how they. That's how Tito has always run this team. That's why he signed Jason Giambi for a second year after he knew it was not going to be anything, and then he kept him around for the whole year and he was terrible, because he felt he owed it to him. And that, like, he's done this over and over again with so many different people.
Are you talking about 2013 or 2014?
Was it 13? He was good, right? Or decent.
Well, I mean, his numbers were shitty, but I mean, he was.
Well, he was
the impact at the clubhouse in 2013.
He hit a lot of home runs, and then they brought him back the next year and kept him on the roster almost the entire season. I think they put him on the roster.
Remember, they had him on the DL until September, basically.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They put him on a fake DL because they wanted to keep him on in the dugout for the entire season.
Okay, so what's the issue there? It's not taking up a roster spot of someone that's actually better than him. What's the point?
He was on the actual roster for a while, and then in September they brought him back up, and he was taking at bats from people, from Jesus Aguilar at the time, I believe.
But he really wasn't taking the bats from anybody at that point. So,
well, but that, my point is that that's how they show their respect to the people that they feel deserve respect. Is they do stuff like that. They keep him around longer than they probably should have. And I think Tomlin is like the perfect example of a guy who's went out there every 5 days. He's thrown his five innings. And then he's went out there 5 days later and thrown five innings, and went up 5 days later and thrown five. Like, and he came back from surgery and he worked. He threw way too many innings last year after coming back off of surgery when he hadn't pitched in like 2 years, and so he, like I said, he deserves credit. He absolutely deserves a lot of credit, and he's terrible. Those are both true. He's a terrible pitcher. He deserves credit. working hard.
I don't know. I just see that it just feels like Clevinger in the bullpen is basically Tomlin protection. Like I said, anybody of them,
yeah,
any of them could have bad starts in theory, obviously. But in general, the most likely scenario is that Tomlin doesn't get through the order more than once, and you have to go to Clevinger, who is still stretched out like a starter.
Yeah. So my point is,
I don't understand why they just don't start Clevinger.
Yeah, I just told you why. We just had this long thing. Because you can't even nominally put Josh Tomlin in the bullpen because nobody's going to believe it. Because the only way you pitch Josh Tomlin in the bullpen is if you're losing by 20 and you're like, oh, we lost this game, let's just go and let's just whatever. Because if you're losing by 6, you're not even going to put Josh Tomlin in the bullpen because you're like, hey, maybe we can score 6. But if we put Josh Tomlin, he's going to give up 3 more and then we're going to be in trouble.
Right. I mean, obviously, he's not a bullpen option. So if that's the
case. Yeah, so that no one would even believe it. You can't say.
Have Salazar as a bullpen option?
But they can't leave him off the roster because that would be going against their code.
Yeah.
That's how it is. That's how it always has been for them. They've always done this. And I'm glad they're not doing it as much as they have in the past. He's really the only obvious guy that shouldn't be on the roster that's going to be on the roster. There's no Michael Martinez this year. I just about guarantee Eric Gonzalez is not going to be on the roster, even though he's better than
make a case for Eric Gonzalez.
Yeah, he is. He has a few home runs this year. At least he's got a little bit of power.
He can play defense, and he's a good runner.
I mean, if you want to make an argument of
he could do to help you.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he's not going to be on the roster most likely.
But if he was, you can make a case for why he should be there. Like if he's on the roster, you can say, okay, this is why he can actually contribute. Not that Tomlin can't. I mean, we saw last year in the postseason he pitched well, but it's just again he was only there because they didn't have any better options. Now they do. I don't know.
Yeah, and if you could go. Honestly, if you could go Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, that's one more pitcher than they had in the first round last year. It's two more than they had in the second round because Bauer was out. If you can do that through all the rounds, there's no reason why they can't win the World Series with just those three guys. So, I mean, honestly, all this other stuff is kind of superlative and unnecessary. If they can do that, and if Encarnacion can keep hitting bombs like he is, and Jose Ramirez can hit a double every other day, or every 3 days, I guess.
The only question, okay,
53 doubles, 150 games or whatever.
I saw you talking earlier about, we'll move on from Tom. I think we both kind of agree on where that's at. You said that Brandon Guyer is essentially useless on a postseason roster, didn't you?
I said I'd rather see Yandy Diaz on the roster than Guyer if it was up between the two guys. That Yandy Diaz had more use because he's been better offensively against left-handed pitching. Overall, he's had more power. And then somebody gave me some shit for saying Diaz has power because he doesn't have a home run. But he's got as many double, or he's one less double and the same amount of triples as Guyer in like 20 less at bats. So he has, and he has the same amount of hits as Guyer does. So he's like in less playing time. So while he's not a huge improvement, he has been better than Guyer.
Plus,
Guyer has
better plate discipline, more likely to draw a walk. He's a better runner.
Yeah, that I brought that up later. But my real point was that Guyer's been out for 10 days now, and I don't know if there's a whole lot of hope of him coming back and then getting back in the swing of things, whereas Diaz has missed a couple days with his finger. But he's played in two of the last three games still. He's got in there as a pinch hitter, so he's still available. At least he's there, able to get into games, whereas Guyer can't even get into games. Same thing with Chisenhall. Chisenhall can't even get into games right now.
He is going to tomorrow.
Yeah, but for the last 10 days, he hasn't. So when you're talking about, you know, someone who maybe is a little injured compared to someone who is completely injured, you'd rather go with the guy who's a little injured. Now, obviously, Chisenhall is a lefty, and he's a much better hitter than either of those two guys. And same thing with Brantley. Like, if he could get in there and swing it, put Carlos in right field, put EE at first, and DH Brantley. Let's get it on.
I think if Brantley makes it, it's only going to be as a pinch hitter early on. I don't think they can put him in the outfield.
You didn't even listen. You don't even listen to what I say.
I try not to most times.
I said put Carlos in right field, put Encarnacion at first, and DH Brantley.
You count on him to run the bases?
I was joking, but we'll use ghost runners. It's fine.
Okay.
Greg Allen's his ghost runner. He just has to get to first, and then we put Allen in. And then you switch it.
On the roster, which is fine by me. I mean, I want Greg Allen on the roster.
Well, and that's why I didn't really want to talk about outfielders, because I mean, we'll assume Chisenhall's in, and we'll assume Brantley and Guyer are out. Then Allen is probably in. Guyer and Chisenhall are in. Brantley's in. Guyer's probably out. It's hard to – or Allen. Whatever. I get all the names mixed up. Almonte's a borderline guy.
He hasn't played in a couple days either. I mean, maybe a field.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different guys in there who could – and Guyers and gals who could potentially be in the outfield. And it's really a mess.
It is.
I will say this, and I got in an argument the other day over Kipnis in center field because I said the Indians would be better off defensively with Kipnis at second base, Jose Ramirez at third base, and then Greg Allen in center. If you're going to go with a guy who can't hit, I'd rather have Allen in center, Kipnis at second, Jose at third, than Jose at second, Ursula at third, and Kipnis in center. That was essentially all I was saying in my argument. Multiple people came at me like I had said something incendiary that I was going to destroy the infield by putting Kipnis, who has in his career been at least league average, always. And Ramirez has been better than league average at third base. So it's not like you're really dropping off from what Ursula has. And you got Greg Allen, who's now going to give you above league average defense in center. So, that's my preference. Because my whole life I've been raised that your center fielder should actually be able to move more than 2 feet to his right or left.
Yeah, I mean.
But then he said, one of the guys said that they have only averaged 1.6 balls to center field per game. I can't believe that's true.
Nebraska on the mound, who can strike a ton of guys out.
Yeah, I believe that maybe when Kluber's starting, you're only averaging 1.6 balls per game, but not when Tomlin's in there for sure, and not when Bauer's in there either. So maybe if you're against a right-handed pitcher, one, you got Kluber on the mound, you could try to hide Kipnis in the outfield. Although I still don't understand why you wouldn't try to hide him in left field and put like Jackson in center, who's at least played there some this year. Sometimes they do shit. That makes no fucking sense at all.
If Greg Allen's on the roster, you only need Kipnis to get through. If you have the lead, he only needs to get through a couple at bats, and hopefully his bat is giving you enough to get a lead. And if it's the seventh or eighth inning and you're up by a run or two, you get Greg Allen as a pinch runner for someone, and you put him in center field.
Yeah. Okay. We'll end with this. But I've been following. FanGraphs doesn't let you like check defense by month, as far as I'm aware. Like no, check a team, especially team defense. But I've been following it all year pretty closely to see where the Indians are in the rankings. It's run saves and errors and all that bullshit. But they were slightly below zero, which means they were slightly below average. As the season went on, they hovered there. They were around like the 14 to 16 mark in MLB. When they brought Zimmer and Ursula up, it changed. They started going slightly above. They were like plus four or whatever. After that winning streak, they're plus 20 some runs. Top five defenses in baseball now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they changed two players. 22 games in with the you had Ramirez playing there, and if you move that, you'll mess up the thing doing the streak. They also had Zimmer in center field for almost the whole thing, and when they didn't, they had Allen there. Like the whole defense was very in the second half as a whole. So to just punt on defense and have, like, let's say Brantley gets healthy and have a potential outfield in the World Series of Brantley, Kipnis, and Santana, you're asking for trouble. It's just, I'm telling you, looking at these top 10 plays for the defensive plays that are going to come out next week, it's always one of our more popular articles. Zimmer made at least, I'd say, 5 catches this year where if he doesn't catch it, the ball's a triple. And I guarantee you that Kipnis doesn't catch a single one of those. I bet you he doesn't get within 20 feet of them.
Probably not, no.
And I'm just seeing, and Buxton made one of those plays tonight. Just absolutely incredible. Probably would have. If he would have, like, not ran to catch it, it would have been a double. If he had missed the catch, it would have been a triple. Like, if he had ran just to field the ball instead of trying to catch it, it would have been a double. And if he had not been able to secure the catch, it probably would have been a triple. But that type of defense cannot be overvalued. And you're going to lose that completely if you put Kipnis in center. So the two questionable decisions, Kipnis in center and Tomlin on the roster at all. That's what we'll question right now. We'll be back next week and we'll discuss what actually they're going to do. We'll probably know who they're going to play. Maybe. I don't know what the wild card game is. Oh no, we won't know who they're going to play yet if we do it on Sunday, but we'll see. We'll at least know the situation a little better then. Maybe we should know the playoff roster.
Yeah.
And the season should be over. The regular season, at least. So we'll can. In the meantime, make sure you check out bringerforbaseball.com. We got lots of fun stuff coming out. Kate Boron wrote something on what we're talking about a bit, about the offensive roster construction for the postseason, what we think is going to happen. That will be coming out on Wednesday morning. And otherwise, you can follow me at bringerforbb. You can follow Justin at JL_baseball. And we'll see you next time.